Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Everybody, welcome to the session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley, back in the studio again. We're getting lots of shows done already in the new year, and I'm excited about that. We've got more to come. Already booked out through like March, actually, so we got a lot to come to. So stay tuned to the Brewing Network. Tonight, I have an old friend of mine, known Chris for a while, and I think Chris has been listening to the show for a lot longer than I've known him, and now has his own brewery. Spent Grain Brewing is on the show with me today, and Chris Chambers is the owner and the brewer. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and welcome to all you out there listening. Excited to be here, and can't wait to tell our story.
You drove all the way up from San Luis Obispo down in the Central Coast.
Well, Scott did.
He brought a DD.
Yeah, but yeah, we came up today and got to hit some great places along the way. Hit Original Pattern, Ghost Town on the way, and now we're here. And
nice, those are good beers. Do you know those guys, or did you just know to go there?
Just knew to go there.
Yeah. They're both killer. We have them on tap here almost all the time.
I see that.
Yeah good breweries. It's
very good stuff.
In fact, the pale ale, one of the pale ales I have in my glass right now is Original Pattern.
It is mine, too.
The single hop. It's quite nice. Okay, real quick. Hey, thanks to our sponsor, More Beer. They bring you this show and every single session that we do, and I couldn't be more thankful for them. They're also sponsoring our Spring Brews Festival, which is coming up Saturday, March 30th, noon to 4. Tickets are on sale now. Just go to thebrewingnetwork.com. Check it out. Tickets are $65, and then there's a bunch of fees that other people want to charge you. It's not my fault. Don't blame me. I'm charging you $65 to give you 60-plus breweries, all in the park right here in Concord. Chris, you're welcome to be a brewery there if you want. You haven't gotten your official invite yet, but this is it.
Well, awesome. I have been here as a guest at the park. Wonderful time. It is, if you haven't done it, you absolutely should be doing it. It's a wonderful thing to do. So
I'm excited about it. I think you guys have a Central Coast Beer Fest the same weekend nowadays.
I think
nowadays.
We do. Yeah. The Brewers Guild does ours in the Sunken Gardens at Atascadero, and I believe it is the same time.
I know it has been for a couple of years now, because I invite some of your neighbors, Wild Fields, and no one can ever do it from down there.
And Brandon up at Lakewood.
Yeah.
I know.
All right. Well, that's coming up anyway. Get your tickets now. Go to thebrewingnetwork.com. The fest will sell out. It sells out pretty much every year. So you're going to want to go get that. Plus, you go find me another fest that's only $65 for all of those breweries, for like 60-plus world-class breweries. And you can. So get your tickets now and come on out to the festival. It's for a good cause. And then once again, thanks to More Beer. All right, we're going to dive right into this. So Spent Grain Brewing.
Spent Grain Brewing.
When did you start it?
We're almost to a year now.
Oh, you're brand new.
February 2nd is the anniversary, I suppose. It's kind of weird to think of that. But yeah, it'll be 1 year now of this project of me doing Spent Grain. So it's just just a year now.
Okay. Is it just you in there?
It's only me.
It's you. Okay. You're a nano brewery.
We are a nano brewery, a true one barrel SS BrewTech.
They make nice systems.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Their cold side stuff is amazing. Mm-hmm. Made some modifications hot side, but I mean, it's a good, really good setup.
Yeah.
Makes amazing beer, in my opinion. I believe that in 27 years of commercially brewing, this is the best beer I've ever been making.
Is that right?
And it's on a little one barrel nano in a 300 square foot speakeasy brewery without a door.
Yes, yeah, so that's the other unique thing about it. You're a speakeasy brewery.
We are. I've been to so many breweries. We all have. We've been to every beer garden. We've been to everything.
Yeah.
I've never once heard or seen a speakeasy brewery.
Right.
And in some crazy idea, you know, I come up with beer names in the shower at like 2 a.m. and the same thing. And I was like, I should just do a speakeasy brewery.
Right.
And here we are.
Is it be honest with me, is it like because you thought that'd be cool and unique, or is it kind of like by convenience? You don't have to deal with people all the time.
Well, there's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's no financial benefit.
Well, that's true. It's almost a hindrance.
Paying
isn't it?
Rent or anything. Like when I met with a landlord, it was going to be the amount per square footage, no matter where I went in the building.
Yeah.
So whether I was storefront or not, they don't care.
I see.
So it did build convenience to me,
yeah.
You know, in the sense where like, you know, tonight we are open from 3 to 8. We're just all booked up,
yeah.
You know?
I see. Yeah. Well, and I think I saw a message, like, I don't know if it was your website or on your Facebook, but it says we're a speakeasy brewery. Text me.
You have to.
You have to text. Is it your phone?
It goes to my phone at some point.
Okay. Yeah.
Not mine directly. It shows up on the POS system and everything.
I see.
And so because we don't have a door, everybody has to text us, and I walk out back and I meet them.
Okay.
And I walk them down this really weird hallway that looks like it should be from The Shining.
Yeah. Okay.
There's just a hallway of doors, and everybody's like,
yeah,
where are we going? And then you open up this door, and it's just this amazing little 300 square foot brewery. And everybody's like,
nice.
It's just an oasis. Everybody's like, oh, I love this place.
And that's like a bar and tables and stuff. It's not just like an empty brewery.
No, it is a bar and everything. So there's
that's cool.
Four bar stools and two really nice orange chairs and just kick back. And
heck yeah.
We do, you know, everybody enjoys it. And it's really neat because when you're there, it's you. You know,
yeah.
We have some people that, you know, randomly will show up or come in and everything that live in the building and everything, so they have access to it all the time.
Okay.
But for the most part, if you text me and there's a group of you, it's going to be your group that has that place to themselves exclusively.
Wow.
With the brewer owner.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and talk to you about the beers that I've made and what they mean to me and the history of it. And
right.
We just have a great time.
Oh, that's super cool. So I have these regulars that I know well here at the Hop Grenade.
Yes.
Sammy and Mike are their names. And they went down, they went to a few breweries, but then they went to Wild Fields, and someone told them to go see you. And Wild Fields, I think, is in the same parking lot as you, basically, right?
There's a park between us.
Okay. So
yeah, we're across the street. Yeah.
So they walk over, and they go to your website or your Facebook or something, and they see this thing that says, text me if you want to come in. And they were too shy. They were like, I don't know. Is this real? They didn't want to bother you. So they ended up not going. And I was like,
such
no, I think that's his thing. I think you're supposed to do that.
Well, I hope they come back. I hope they're listening.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope they come back. People, we get that all the time. And
okay.
We actually get a lot of people from the East Bay and up here that come through. And there is a little bit of timidness with it. And then once they're like, oh my.
Right.
This is the best thing ever.
Totally.
Thank you. And I'm like, you know, I get that there's a little bit of I would say inconvenience of it, where you have to put in some effort to get there, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And when you get there, I promise you will not have an experience like it anywhere else.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
You truly walk into a speakeasy brewery.
Right.
And the equipment's there. I'm there. Like I said, I've been to thousands of breweries all over the country and outside the country, and I've never once seen anything like it.
Right.
It's truly unique. That's I promise cool. I am there at least 90% of the time, 7 days a week.
Well, and you must have like some set hours, right? Like I can't text you at 1:30 in the morning on a Wednesday.
We are 3 to 8 daily.
Okay. Got it.
You know, and that's the pub side. Yeah. You know, the brew house, I'm there at 8 in the morning at least and sure. doing all my cellar work or brewing and everything.
Okay.
So sometimes you could text throughout the day and yeah, I'm there. And usually I'll tell you, hey, tap room's open, you know, opens at 3. I'm here doing other stuff. But
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if somebody's like, oh, I'm just happening to be coming through town or, you know what, I will do the best I can to sure. accommodate anyone that comes through. Like, it means a lot to me that people take the effort to come and do it.
Yeah.
And they won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I like it. It's the coolest concept, and I'll tell my friends. Don't be intimidated. No, just go ahead and
come back
and send the text. Now, you're a veteran.
I am a veteran.
Of what branch of the military?
So I served in the Army.
Okay. And when did you go in, and when did you come out?
I joined in February of 2000 and got out in February 2006.
Okay. Got it. So you are now a veteran-owned brewery.
Yes, absolutely.
And in fact, the beer that's in my glass was a tribute. It's a Veterans Day beer release.
Correct.
Tell me about this.
So this is a Yakima Chief Veterans blend of hops that we did a 5.6% pale ale collaboration. Originally, we did this as a collaboration down in Thousand Oaks at Tarantula Hill. Then we did a second batch of it at our place. We had a group of our friends and veterans that came in to do the brew day with me.
Nice.
And so Dog Tags and Tan Lines.
That's what the beer is called.
It is.
It's a why the Tan Lines part? I've been trying to figure this out.
So we were sitting there in Thousand Oaks at Tarantula Hill doing this beer, and they make a couple other beers that are like flip-flops and tan lines or
okay.
along those lines and everything else. And everybody's trying to throw out some names and everything. And I was wearing my dog tags.
Yeah.
And I went and threw them up on the fermenter as we were going into it. And I was like, well, how about just dog tags and tan lines?
Nice.
And everybody goes, yeah, we're done.
It's perfect.
We're done.
That's great.
That's it. So
well, there's also, it does kind of make you think, because I was thinking of all the different ways like someone in the military might have weird tan lines or something, like maybe even the dog tag itself.
We definitely do.
Right? but I like that because of the collaboration.
Yeah. And being that side of it where you're looking at the military side and the veteran side and giving back to everyone on the dog tags.
Yeah.
And then taking some fun out of it and thinking of the beach and, you know, having some tan lines, whether you're at the lake or the river or wherever. And so,
heck yeah.
So kind of bringing it from something that's really serious to something that's just a good time.
We don't have to be fully serious just because it's a veteran tribute.
No, let's have some fun. So
I like it. And what makes the hop blend a veterans blend?
So every year Yakima Chief does two different, and I could be wrong, but I believe it's two different blends. And at Craft Brewers Conference, they sit in a room with a bunch of hops and they come up with a Veterans Day blend.
Okay.
And at GABF, they do the same thing, and that is the Pink Boot Society blend.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just got those hops probably getting delivered today while I'm here, if not tomorrow, that we'll do our Pink Boot Society brew day.
Nice.
With some local female brewers.
So does Yakima give proceeds to each of them?
Yes.
So the veterans, the proceeds go.
Yeah. So each year, with the Pink Boot Society, those funds go to the Pink Boot Society.
Yeah.
On the veterans blend, they give, I believe it's $2 or $3 per pound of hops sold to a different veterans organization each year.
Oh, nice.
So this year, I believe it was the sixth year of Yakima Chief doing that. And it went to adapting and building houses for disabled veterans.
Wow. Okay.
And making changes to the houses for them. So,
hey, I can drink a lot of beer for that cost.
Me too.
Right. That's cool. Excellent. This is a kind of a silly question, I guess. Like, I know that you would buy those hops and do the beer because you want to support the cause. But what did you think about the blend itself?
I loved it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know what is in it?
I do. So this is Citra, Talus, HBC 636.
Okay.
I believe one of the experimentals.
Yep.
And Sabro.
Oh, yeah.
And so I believe it's like 40, 15, and 15.
Okay.
So mostly Citra, HBC 636 on the 40s, and then 15 and or 10 and 10, however it was, on the Sabro and the Talus.
Got it. Not that I could have ever guessed all of those by tasting it, but one of them stuck out, and I think it's the Sabro.
It is. You get that coconut nose.
Yeah.
But not overbearing or anything. But that's the thing is I grab this beer and I smell it, and like I do get that coconut Sabro coming through.
Yeah.
And it's just so pleasant.
It's really nice. I also get, it's fading away with more sips, but the very first sip I got a lot of like toffee character in the malt, which I really like.
Yeah.
Like just a great, so I'm a pale ale guy. Anywhere from the super light ones all the way to Sierra Pale Ale, like you name it. The spectrum.
We threw this thing back old school.
Yeah.
Throw some Crystal 60 into it to bring those caramel flavors and the coloring and everything into it and kind of give that ode back to the old side of it. And
yeah.
So I guess that's the dog tag side of it.
There you go. Yeah.
And then the tan lines is just this happiness that's going on and the beach party that backs it up. So.
Yeah. Well, I give the malt like the backbone of the beer. You're right. Kind of that old school tribute. But the hop profile tastes really new school to me.
Absolutely.
So I like that mix.
It was a fun beer to do.
That's a crowd pleaser. And so do you make one barrel batch or do you brew this like several times?
This one we're having actually just kegged and having it here for the first time with you as well.
Oh, so, perfect.
This was ready this morning.
Excellent.
So this is batch 2 of it.
Okay.
There will be a batch 3 of it, probably a batch 4 of it. And then at that point, we'll have to change up some hops or we'll do a blend based on the numbers we have from them as well to try to keep doing something like this. But
it's
been super popular. Everybody's loving it. So
I bet
we want to keep making it as long as we can continue to make it. You know, we buy 11-pound hops from Yakima Chief, and on a one barrel, that's going to last us at least 3 batches. So,
okay.
we'll be able to do another one or two of these.
And so do you only sell out of the tap room?
100%.
Yeah.
So growlers. Buy the glass, nothing to go.
Oh, right.
These are the first 2 growlers I've ever filled.
Oh, you're kidding. The ones you brought here?
The ones that I brought are the first ones we've ever filled. Nothing leaves.
Amazing.
The speakeasy.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
Wow.
Everything is consumed right there.
So I hope you don't mind me asking. It sounds like a difficult business model. You must have low overhead. I don't know what.
Like it's the exact opposite.
Okay.
We don't have low overhead. I wish we did.
Okay.
I work my ass off.
Yeah, all right.
I'm there all the time. It's a passion project.
Another job. This is your job.
This is all I've done since I left the Army.
Okay, yeah.
As we all understand in this industry, it is a passion project. So everything I do is nothing but passion. I do it because I love it. It's profitable, you know, in 300 square foot. We make amazing beers. I have a great time there. We sell 100% of it on tap there, which obviously
that's helpful.
Helps us out.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to sell beer for 30 cents down the street or anything. We're selling it for $8 a pint.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, it is very well thought out and everything, but it's a ton of work.
Yeah.
It's
you're probably not driving a Lamborghini.
No, I drive a 2006 Chevy Express van.
There we go. Yeah, you know,
you've seen it. You've seen me camping it many times.
Yeah, yeah.
Hasn't changed. Got 200 plus thousand miles on it.
Right.
No, but I get to do the most amazing thing in this world and build community with people just by making beer.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful, and I'm blessed with what the community allows me to do, not the other way around.
Sure.
I truly love this industry, love what I'm doing, and you know, I'm just so excited that I get to continue to educate myself, make better beer. I truly believe this is the best beer I've ever made in commercially brewing beer for 27 years now.
Yeah, where else have you brewed, if you don't mind saying? Dropping a few.
I had Dunbar Brewing. So I started Dunbar Brewing in 1997.
Okay, yeah.
We made it up to the pandemic. We were opening a new place right then, and we opened up one night, got shut down the next day by the fire marshal.
Oh.
And we never opened again. And
shut down because of COVID restrictions?
COVID restrictions. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, we opened up on Friday, I believe the 15th of March.
Oh, God.
14th
yeah.
of March.
Literally right
and
then.
And then they walked in on the 15th of March and said,
that's it.
You're done.
Oh, like, no.
Everything's in this building. What do you mean? And they're like, yeah. No, you're done.
That's, can I, I know you don't want to go off on a tangent, but I'm going
oh,
to.
That's fine.
I'm going to for you just a little bit. And I don't want to talk about whether or not we should have been shut down or not. I don't
sure.
I don't give a fuck. It happened.
It happened. We're done.
What I do think, though, and especially around here in the Bay, and you'd think it'd be different up in the Bay. There's a lot of bleeding hearts up here. I used to be one of them. There's a bar around the corner for me. I love going there. It's a great little dive bar. I'm not going to name the name in this particular case. I am full certain that they never closed. They put up like a plywood on the windows, yeah. but they made a little cutout for the neon open sign. You can still see that. I had no problem with that. I never had a problem with that. And you
Me
know,
either.
And you know, I don't think our local officials had a problem with it either because no one got bothered. What I'm getting at is I'm really surprised that they actually took action like that for you because I found that there was a lot of shaking of the big stick and being told don't do this, but not a lot of enforcement about it.
Right. And maybe I didn't need to listen. I mean, and that is right, that right. is the true side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But they
it's funny,
came,
as
they
much
came
as I want to break every... all the rules and everything.
Like of course.
I pretty much follow them and everything. And
yeah.
it means a lot to me too, to do things the right way.
Same.
So at the end of it, I was like, you know what? Okay.
Yeah. And that was that.
And I love it.
Yeah. So now you wouldn't, now you wouldn't change it.
No, I wouldn't change it at all.
Yeah.
The best thing I've ever been doing for me personally, me mentally, for the community, for the brewing industry,
yeah.
is spent grain brewing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm making the best beers I've ever done, which is a blessing to the community as well and the beer industry.
How about your stress level? Lower than with the...
I don't even have it anymore. Yeah. I don't even know what that is. I love it.
This is such great news. I went to the dentist today. This is going to sound like a random story, but it fits this stress thing. I have to get a new guard made because I grind my teeth.
Yeah.
And I ground a hole in my guard. I'm so, and the dentist looked at me, he's like, yeah, you stressed out much or what, buddy? And I'm like, I guess so. I didn't know.
He's like, oh, you own a business.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And, you know, trying to keep it open during the COVID.
Sure.
And you know, and having, of course, I got like 15 employees and stuff. So you know how that all is.
And
so,
I did too.
Back so that's why I'm asking. Like, it must be a kind of a weight off. It's just.
It is. Yeah. And I get to call the shots. And like you were asking about the not having a door and being a speakeasy and how that plays in. And it does play into that. It plays into it. For me on the personal level where
yeah.
I don't have to play the game if I can't.
Right.
You know, if I'm physically done for the day or whatever,
yeah.
I can just leave and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's still a business and it's 100% treated that way but unlike before, I don't have a dozen employees and I don't have to pay all the extra side of that with work comp and payroll yeah. taxes and everything else.
It's a lot.
It's just me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, we've been open 10 months now, 11 months. And in the first year, it was profitable.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
That is amazing. And so difficult. So,
and
that's
you know
lucky.
How much work goes into that. And,
yeah.
And I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of what I was able to do with it and what I continue to do with it. And, you know, I'm just having fun. And that's
yeah.
when the stress leaves, you really get to focus on what we all got into this for.
Yeah.
And our love and our passion for beer. It's not even beer. I mean, we do make beer, but it's really about building that community.
Sure.
And making friends with our neighbors and making our neighbors become friends with our neighbors.
Yeah.
And truly building a community. And that's.
Beer does that.
And I love it. I'm just, you know, I've been humbled by this industry and
yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
Sure.
Not a negative thing.
Like, yeah.
I just, I love it.
Well, I want to talk more about that. I want to take a break real quick.
Sure.
And because I did find you put in your notes to me, you know, that you're super optimistic and excited about the craft beer industry. And I got to tell you, I was surprised to read that sentence from a brewer right around these times. And I'll tell you why when we come back. So hang in there. You're listening to The Session. We're hanging out with Chris Chambers from Spent Grain Brewing. And we'll be right back.
The leader in affordable, high-quality kegerators is here. Introducing Komos, the kegerator designed with serious beer drinkers in mind. It features an all-stainless steel draft tower, a major upgrade over traditional chrome-plated brass towers, and Komos keeps your new tower cold with their air-cooled tower fan, wrapping your beer lines in frigid coolness. Your beer is poured from innovative forward-sealing faucets that don't leak, so they stay cleaner for longer. Dual gas inlets on the rear of the fridge allow you to run both CO2 and nitrogen gas. Serve your beer with CO2, serve your kegged wine or even cocktails with nitrogen. The digital temperature display has the largest range available, allowing you to use the Komos Kegerator for fermentation if you need to. And now Komos Kegerators ship with duo-tight draft fittings for that click-to-connect assembly we've all dreamed of. Buy direct from KomosDraft.com and receive free shipping on your order. That's KomosDraft.com.
Welcome back to The Session. Thank you for hanging out with us today. And we're still talking with Spent Grain Brewing out of San Luis Obispo. I think people have to find you like on Facebook or something if they want info, right?
Google, Instagram,
yeah, okay.
Facebook. Yeah, we're in Atascadero, so just...
yeah.
I guess 12 miles north of, or 8 miles north of San Luis Obispo, but yeah, that's okay. Where we're at.
And then they got to find that, like we mentioned in the first segment, you got to find the phone number, you got to text Chris, and he lets you in the speakeasy.
Yeah, that's yeah, we don't have a door. I meet everybody on the back side of the building. There's a set of double glass doors.
Okay.
You text from there, I bring you in.
Nice. Love it. All right, so I'm having more of your pale ale right now, which of course is called Dog Tags and Tan Lines. I refilled my glass at the break because it's delicious.
Thank you.
The old school, new school, so thanks for bringing that. But what we were talking about is you being excited about craft beer right now.
I am.
And I don't want to sound cynical, but you know, I read all of the trade magazines. I know what's happening in the beer world right now.
We all do. We understand the trends and what's going on, but...
so
it's all bullshit.
Talk to me about that. What's exciting right now?
You know, so when I started this in 1997, it like that long ago, when I first opened up in Los Osos, there was less than 100 breweries in California.
Hmm.
And so I've been around. I feel like I got a story to tell. I got some things that I've noticed that other people didn't grow up with or weren't necessarily out of diapers yet when this all started.
Yeah.
So seeing what's going on with it, I think it's a great time for craft beer industry. I love what we're doing. I think that the brewing industry as a whole has gotten away from acting like we work at the DMV and gotten back to like love. Like we love what we do and we love the other people that are doing this. And so not just the collaborations and everything that take place, but that people see on the shelves, but the collaborating that takes place on a daily basis,
yeah,
where we're calling and talking to each other, sending text messages to each other. You know, we are each other's best friends and it's truly showing and it's becoming more and more of a community and more of a family.
Sure.
As it was back in 97 or back in the day. And it's great to see that coming back. Now the industry as a whole is getting just pummeled.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And I'm not going to argue that at all. It is true. And the thing is, if you want to open up a brewery and you think you're going to be the next thing that has nationwide distribution, you're not.
Yeah.
So get over that idea. But is that really what anyone wants to do?
Right.
I mean, if you're trying to build your community and you're trying to be that neighborhood brewery, pub, or regional where you have 3, 4, 6 of them in a county or two, you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That is what everybody wants. I mean,
so that hyper local feeling. Yeah.
You know, post COVID, a speakeasy brewery pre COVID never would work.
Okay. Yeah.
I truly believe that.
Okay.
Post, though, it is. I mean, we are all hypersensitive and hyper local, everybody wants things from their neighborhood and where they're from. They don't want to have stuff that was made in, you know, Chicago, New York. We do enjoy those things too, and we will continue to enjoy them. But everybody really wants to have things that are in their, whatever they consider their neighborhood.
Sure.
So I think it's a great time for the beer industry. I think that the breweries that believe in building a community are going to succeed tremendously.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. It's about that love. It, you know, and...
Well, you know, I think one of the... You know, there's a lot of reasons given about why craft beer is where it is now, right?
Sure.
Probably the most legit is just that it's a mature industry like every other one, and that just happens. You just can't always sustain 15% growth year after year. It's going to happen. But I do think something that people don't talk about much, they talk about it in different ways, but, you know, when I started in the industry, which was 2005, there was very much a us against them vibe.
Sure. That's the DMV era.
Yeah. Then the craft brewers were like, well, not, but it was craft brewers against big brewers.
Yes.
And it's the story that was told. And I bought into it, by the way. I was like, yeah, you know, F macro beer, right? So I was all about that. And that story got told and people bought into it and consumers kept buying. They're like, yeah, we're part of this team. And then...
Then that team got bought.
The consolidation phase started happening, right? Yeah. That team got bought.
Everybody loved the big guy. Now, give me $1 billion. Let's do this.
Now, I've never poo-pooed on this show the buyouts. And,
no.
And there's the reason Absolutely. Is like, because I believe in the American dream.
Absolutely.
So when Jack White started as a homebrew shop and then Ballast Point and then sold Ballast. It was the first one to sell it for $1 billion and everyone was mad. I'm like standing up and cheering that
Absolutely.
Guy. Hell yeah.
And then Tony right behind it.
Tony did the same.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's a lasting effect of that. Like when your team sells out, however you want to judge that sure. or not judge it. And so we became, as consumers, a little less loyal to craft beer because we felt maybe craft beer wasn't all that loyal to us.
Right.
Right. And then of course, now then add in all the other 100 reasons that craft beer is where it is. Right. But I do think that people ignore a little bit that part of the storyline that we bought into that got that page got turned and like, oh no, let's forget we ever said that stuff to you. And the reason I bring this up is, folks like you who have a nano and have this passion and have this hyper-local thing, I agree with you on this point. Because it does kind of go back to the roots. It does kind of go back to like, well, I'm going to go hang out with Chris.
Right.
Because Chris gets it, and I don't think he's bullshitting me when he says it's us against them. Or even if you just say, I'm into local and I'm not going anywhere.
You bring me a Miller High Life, and I'll be happy as can be and drink it right in front of you.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Like, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're doing. We're building a community. And so that's where I think, you know, the breweries have to focus on it, that, you know, I truly believe I was hurt with Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was brought in to cut my teeth on it.
When they closed? Yes.
I was not upset when they sold because Fritz had nobody to send it to. So,
right.
So you know what?
I gotta get do what it. You got to do. Yeah.
But what happened? When it closed, I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, please let this die.
Yeah.
I truly believe that brand, Anchor Brewing, will come back as a hyper-local San Francisco brewery.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with corporate.
Yeah.
And it will be very successful in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It will never have...
That national...
No.
Yeah.
And it never really did.
Right.
It tried to, and it was never, but I do believe that Anchor will come back, and I believe that we'll all go and drink an Anchor beer
right
in San Francisco, and it'll be awesome.
You're probably
right.
We'll
be so happy that we're doing that.
I do hope it's slightly different, though.
It will be.
The beer.
Because, yeah.
Here's why I say
everything
that.
Has to evolve.
That's all I'm saying. I get the tradition. I get that it's a San Francisco staple. All right, but I'm not buying Rice-A-Roni every day because it's the San Francisco treat.
No,
I want something.
That's not a treat.
I've grown up a little bit, and now I want my rice to be a little different, right? So
it's a dog treat.
Exactly. So you see what I'm saying? Like Anchor, in part, or at least the people who bought it, did it into.
Sure.
You can't just be like, well, it's because it's the way it's always been.
No.
You know, you can't do
that. That's gone.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that that will come back in some level with as a passion project.
Yeah.
As people that care about it and that want to experiment and see the new things that come through and play a part in the beer industry and make amazing beer. I do believe in my dreams of the beer world, I will see that in my lifetime. That will happen.
I think
I'll be excited about it.
I mean, the fact that the building's just still there with a brewery in it and people talking about it, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's just who comes in with the right amount of money and passion.
I don't even know if it'd be there versus the tap room.
I see.
Where it is even smaller.
Yeah.
I think that brewery is too big for what it would try to do, but the tap rooms wouldn't be, or somebody opens up a 10 barrel as Anchor Brewing in San Francisco because they love it. As we all do and did,
right?
Then it'll be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where I'm excited about the industry. That's what I see. You know, the nationwide distribution. There's always going to be one or two that break out, as there has been.
Yeah.
But that.
It's harder than
that. Isn't the focus, and that shouldn't be why anyone gets in this industry to go do that.
Yeah,
people should get into this industry. You know, the days of like, oh, it's easy, just open up a brewery.
Yeah,
I've been doing it for 27 years, and it's never been easy.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's always been about the passion. I've never had another job. It is a life. It's a lifestyle. It is what we do. We are brewers. We work in this industry. We, you know, you'll see us at the parades and the Christmas tree lightings and any fundraiser that the community builds. That's where you're going to see us, you know.
Yeah.
The nationwide distribution, while something's going on in, like I said, New York, I'm not connected to that.
Right, right.
And they're not connected to me. So let me focus on what I can be part of and people can see me doing it. People want to see people. And they're like, you're out there.
There's a person who made that.
Right.
Yeah.
You're doing this. And so in that sense, I'm truly excited about the beer industry. I believe that the people that are going to get into it or that can continue to stay in it are doing it for the right reasons.
Hmm.
And that's why I'm excited about this industry as a whole now. And I believe that it just brings in the love.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm going to put words in your mouth here and you can take them right back out. You don't mind then that there's this kind of shakeout happening if it's happening to brewers who maybe shouldn't be here in the first place. So maybe we're in it for the money and not in it for the beer. Cause there is a shakeout happening just like there was back in early 2000 and that, you know, sounds to me like you're like, well, hey, you know, if you're into it, you're going to make it. And if you're not, you're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about beer.
Yeah.
If this is your life, if you've dedicated your life to this.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Right.
Because we've all been doing this. And it's like a deep breath to the rest of us. Thank God there's more of us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love it. But if you thought this was how you buy your Maserati or your Lamborghini, then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how you buy your 2006 Chevy Express van.
It's how I bought my 2000 Toyota.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
See you at the dealership.
Yeah. I've had to put two engines in that fucker already.
Right.
I'm still at it, though. I'm gonna turn this interview into an inspirational video, Chris.
Cool.
For the beer industry.
I would love to do it. Like, that's what this is. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I love talking about my beer and what I do and everything, but I love talking about this industry as a whole. Like, I've dedicated my life to it and I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
And I want everyone else that's doing this to be proud of that as well and be excited about what we're doing.
Sure.
And realize that, you know, there might not be the millions or billions to make anymore.
Yeah.
But there weren't in the first place.
Right. That those were rare occasions.
The first place,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's like winning the lottery.
So welcome to what we do, and
right.
It's welcome to the struggle. It's passionate, and it's going to kill you, and
and make you happy at the same time. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about beer and hops.
Yes. I love hops.
Yes. Though. You had mentioned to me this, like, you're super into all the new hops. And, you know, a lot of people are, of course. But yeah. There's so many different, not just
new
hop,
to me.
Hop varieties, but like hop technologies. I mean, hops are the, they've been the cool kid pretty much since I started in 05.
Yes.
But that's only gone, like, now they're really the cool kid. So talk to me about, like, some of your favorites. What do you like using right now?
You know, so when I started as Dunbar in 97 and ran that project for a long time, I was doing traditional Irish English Scottish ales.
Okay.
So all malt-based. Hops were never something I really focused on.
Some EKGs.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Love them.
Some Goldings and maybe some Chinook.
Some Willamette, you know, something. But
yeah. Okay.
But so the change of that has been absolutely amazing, and just the education we all as brewers need to continue to educate ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the first things I did bringing on this program of doing spent grain brewing was came up here, and at Faction Brewing we did the Fermentis Yeast Academy.
Oh yeah.
And went through the Yeast University or whatever Fermentis called it, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Just to get to understand it of what, you know, what that means and to learn about the yeast side of things, which obviously makes clean beer, as you see. I mean, it's pretty clean beer.
It's damn clean beer.
We're,
yep.
I'm not messing around when it comes to that. And that's from that introduction of going from British ale yeast to, you know, US05 or
sure.
Cali and just learn a lot of things. And then come on the hops and learning how we have this clean beer and a great slate to start adding things to. And so, you know, like what hops can we play around with and what can we do? And so I started out, the first beer I did as spent grain brewing is called Bodacious.
Okay.
And that's an extra pale ale. And I was going down to Tarantula Hill and helping out when my buddy Mike was on paternity leave, had a baby, and went and made a few turns for them and helped out in the brew house. And our good friends from June Lake came down.
Oh, yeah.
They brewed down there for like 6 weeks, trying to give Mike as much time off as he could with his new baby, Bo. And that's why my beer is named Bodacious.
Nice.
Because I stole some hops and made this extra pale ale.
Okay.
And so the first time I did it was Peacherine.
Oh, yeah.
And so got my hands on some of the first round of Peacherine out of New Zealand.
Crazy hop.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I got 3 pounds of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, wow, this beer's amazing, and I'll never be able to make it again.
Oh, no, yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it went to Nectaron, and then it went to Citra Galaxy Mosaic Blend, and this new batch that's coming out will be all Waimea.
Okay.
And the Waimea came in through the Kakua project, which we'll get on.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I was introduced to that hop. And so just seeing how those hops can truly change a beer was eye-opening to me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that I had really played around with being able to introduce a hop to a beer that I knew,
mm-hmm.
and changing it up and going how much it changes based on that hop going in. And so it became like truly a passion project, and doing a one barrel brew house, and I'm able to play around a little bit more than
yeah.
a lot of people. And,
yeah.
You know, Yakima Chief's putting out the Forward program. It's going to be a hop testing idea.
Okay.
I put in for that. I'd love to be part of that and work with them and try out these new hops and give them true feedback. You know, where our feedback is in-house. It's 300 square foot with my customers.
Right.
It's not going to distro. It's all sitting there. So I can get that feedback from my customers that I'm seeing daily.
Yeah.
And like, well, how, what did you think? And they're like, oh, well, I like this because it's this, or, mm-hmm. you know, I like the last batch because I like more hop bitterness than I like
hop,
you know, flavor and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's neat to get all that feedback from everyone and really see it. And so I've gotten to learn and continue to educate myself a lot more. And that comes from my good buddy, you know, Dustin Krall,
mm-hmm.
who really always is pushed for education.
Okay. Yeah.
And to not be that complacent brewer. And, you know, I love him for many reasons, but that's one of them, that he kept pushing me to go and learn more and more and more and keep that education going.
Well, and with so much coming out now, I mean, he's right. You just have to.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, I feel like it's just evolving rapidly too. Like I said,
it's crazy how much is coming through.
Yeah. When I started the interviews in the early days of the Brewing Network, you know, there'd be certain guests who really were documenting everything and had like the research dialed in. But honestly, most guests, there was a lot of throwing your hands up in the air. Like, I don't know why that happens. It just happens.
Right.
And I'm not saying they were bad brewers even. These are some good brewers. But there's just a lot of the brewing process that we still don't even know why it happens.
No.
Because we've always said brewing beer can be as simple as making soup on the stove or as complex as brain surgery. It just depends on what kind of brewer you want to be.
Right.
And nowadays, I think that's more true than ever because, boy, is stuff coming out left and right. I also think you're right that brewers communicate more than they ever did to each other.
There's a lot of sharing going on.
A lot of that sharing going on and a lot of documentation that just was never there before. You know, there was a lot of documentation about how, you know, mash temperatures and you name it, but not about the real intricacies of how hops play with yeast and play with malt and the reactions that happen on the hot side and the cold side.
And I don't think we have the research to with the hop side of it, the hop farmers and the growers and the, you know, to understand that either.
Yeah.
And they're spending a ton of time and money into that to understand and developing the new products as you're talking about, you know, Incognito and, you know, and all the liquid forms, hot side, cold side, where you can use this, where you want to use it, where you don't want to use it. There's so much new stuff coming out, you know.
And by the way, thank you brewers for that, because the reason they're able to do all that, to put that amount of money into it, it's because now there's money in doing it. There's money in doing it. You know, because years ago, before my time, before your time, there wasn't money in hops. If you weren't growing, I think it was Willamette that just Budweiser bought all the Willamette on Earth. There wasn't money in hops. You grew something else.
Right.
So thanks to consumers and craft brewers, Yakima Chief and others and the growers.
Hollenberry, Crosby.
You know, they're able to dump money into those research programs. Because we're helping make the money.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good thing. That's a healthy cycle, right?
It is. And to know those farmers directly and like to go and see them and everything, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm excited to continue that growth and work with them and hopefully be part of that forward project and everything with them. And it's not just Yakima Chief, it's the farmers themselves.
Yeah.
And try out these new hops and give them true feedback on what's going on with it and whether or not that should be something we should continue to keep growing or focusing on or something back off because this other variety is doing. And that was the thing when we were playing around with Peacherine and Nectaron, and Nectaron is definitely the New Zealand hop. Everyone wants that.
Yeah.
So Peacherine is kind of like been pushed aside, but it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It should rise to the top.
First beer I had with my friend Wondrous brought in a beer with that. And I was like, oh, you put peach in that beer.
No.
No? That's where I learned about Peacherine.
Yeah.
It's an amazing hop.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that kind of happens. Like some of the best hops are going to go by the wayside. I think that's like the life of hops for whatever reason.
And they change.
And maybe that
they're going to change throughout the years and the growth cycles. So.
Maybe that one wasn't like hardy enough too, or robust enough. Maybe it came out great, but it just was having trouble being grown.
Right.
Like you never know. It's still agriculture, which is another thing I love about beer.
Absolutely.
It's very much agriculture. So one of the beers, we don't have it here today, but I noticed one that you brewed was an IPA you did with Strata.
Yes.
I want your take on Strata. Describe that hop to me, if you can.
Yeah, if I can. That's the whole thing,
It's a weird one to me. So I like it.
I love it. I think it brings a lot of great aromas into it. It brings you citrus. It brings you tropical. You know, it's one of the first hops that I really just smelling hops, opening up bags of it and tear open a bag and you're like, oh my. Where has this been in my life?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, everybody loves Mosaic. I love Mosaic.
Yeah,
Mosaic. It's in everything.
Yeah.
It's great. But Strata was like the first thing that like I opened up, and it changed my senses. It made me think, and I'm like, this is that, but it's this and that, and like I'm all over the place on it.
Yeah.
And I love that it brings in a level of complexity that we don't get from just using the same hop all the time. And so I'm excited about it. I think it's making great beers. I know there's people making beers that are straight just called Strata.
Yep. Yep.
And that's awesome.
Totally. And was yours 100% Strata too?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Strata, the West Coast IPA. So nice. It's a little Dr. Dre Snoop Dogg steal that we did on that one. And
yeah,
you know, if it's West Coast, it's West Coast. So
I like it.
That's where I'm at on that. 7%. You know, it's super crushable.
Okay.
Just, yeah. I can't wait to get some of that into your hands and
heck
let you
yeah.
try it and everything. But
I had to come down to you.
Our number one selling beer for sure.
What else? You got any other hops out there that you really love right now?
I got some things I'm really excited to try and play around with.
Yeah.
The Grungiest, which is the Green Ghost.
That's what the name, which one's the name of the hop? Green Ghost?
No, it's the Grungiest.
That's the name of the hop?
AKA Green Ghost. It's a German hop.
Okay.
I'm getting ready to do a Kolsch with that. I'm excited about doing that.
Why is it called the Grungiest? Is it super dank? It can't be for a German hop.
No, super low alpha acids. I mean, it's a noble derivative, so.
The Green Ghost. That's a great name.
Yeah. I believe the first beer I had with that was, I want to say it was Peer Beer from Pizza Port.
Okay.
I think uses that hop. And it was one of those things that like just cracked open. And I'm like,
yeah,
what am I having here?
Amazing.
I like this hop. So that's a new one that I'm getting ready to play around with, have some fun with.
Okay.
Anchovy.
That's not the name of the hop.
It is. It's terrible. Everybody get over this. I'm pretty sure the Pacific Northwest just straight said, call it anchovy. Nobody will buy it.
Yeah, right.
They're We're like... going to keep this for ourselves.
Yeah, just come up with the worst name possible.
Yeah. And it's not, it doesn't smell like an anchovy at all.
You've tried it?
I have. I've tried some beers with it.
What is it like?
I haven't had it in my hands to brew with it yet.
That's funny.
Interesting. Yeah. There's Bigfoot out of Canada.
Okay.
A new Canadian like wild hop. Not new. It's been around for 100 years or something.
Okay. They just cultivated a wild hop.
So
yeah.
Something new that's going on. So
leave it to the Canadians.
Yeah. But that's the one, like anchovy? Like who names their hop?
No, that's weird.
This beer's gotta be terrible.
I'm trying to think of another. There's been names in the past where I'm like,
they're being tricky on me.
Yeah, because it was good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
they
interesting.
Want to hold it for themselves. Everybody brew with anchovy.
Yeah. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another quick break, and I want to get some of your porter in my glass. So we're going to do a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of your collaboration projects that you've done. I want to talk about the Kakua project.
Cool.
And then we're going to play a little random question, get to know Chris.
I like it.
All right, hang in there. You'll listen to the session. We'll be right back.
Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Their website features real-time inventory, which means if you can put it in your cart, they can guarantee it'll ship the same day by 4 p.m. on weekdays. Want easy and simple electric brewing? Check out the new Series 2 Mash and Boil, featuring an elevated grain basket so you don't have to calculate sparge water. Williams also features the full Kegland line, everything from Brewzilla to Maltzilla, and a huge selection of duo-tight fittings. Looking for a kegerator? Look no further than the Kegland Series X and Plus kegerators, which feature 4 and 8 keg capacity in a compact footprint, and free shipping to the lower 48. Interested in distilling? Look up their proven Williams American Bourbon and Brandy kits, as well as complete distilling equipment packages and conversion kits for popular systems like the Mash and Boil, Anvil, and the Grainfather. Check them out today. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection.
Welcome back to the session. Thanks for hanging out with us. Still talking beer with Chris Chambers from Spent Grain Brewing down in San Luis Obispo. It's the only speakeasy brewery we know of.
It's the only one I've ever been to.
Certainly the only one we've had on the show.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. I'm going to have to get down there.
Hi, everybody.
All right. So we were talking hops before the break, but I wanted to talk about a couple of the beer projects you did.
Yes.
I noticed that you did a beer for the Kakua Project.
I did.
Which was a Maui fundraiser.
It was a Maui fundraiser for Lahaina.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I've never been.
Yeah, I've been.
Never. I want to. And
it was devastating to see the photos of that.
I have friends that are from there. People,
yeah.
San Luis Obispo and Lahaina seem to have a lot of connections.
Okay.
And so a lot of people that you know, actually, from that lived in Lahaina.
Yeah.
They came to San Luis Obispo working for the same restaurant company.
I see, yeah.
Gemma, good friend from Firestone, she's from Lahaina.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she worked for Cool Cats Cafe.
Okay, I know that place, yeah.
Which was in Lahaina.
Yeah.
And burnt down along with the other two restaurants they had.
Yeah.
But that's what brought her to San Luis Obispo in the first place.
Okay.
Who, I know that she's a good friend of both of ours. That,
yeah.
That moved on from the beer industry, but that's how she got here was through Cool Cats. And so,
okay,
you know, and that there's just a strong connection with San Luis Obispo and Maui through the restaurant industry. And so a lot of people have come back and forth back, you know, and so just, it was something that meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
I've been blessed where I've never had anything. So to give a little bit away has never meant anything.
Yep.
You know, I've never had anything. So to give a little bit just means that, you know, I'll just work a little harder tomorrow.
Right.
It's fine.
It was a cool project that Garrett from Maui initiated, from Maui Brewing, I should say, initiated, right?
So we started originally, we got to do the first project for Paradise with Sierra Nevada.
The Paradise Fires up here, yeah.
And so this is the third industry-wide edition of a wildfire relief that the brewing industry has done.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was resilience for California, resilience for Australia, and then Kakua is the third rendition. So we've been able to take part in two of those.
Yeah,
the Australia was right during the COVID shutdown for us, so we weren't able to participate in that. So, being that I've been on that since the ground level from the original, it means a lot to me. And you know, while we are so small, I know that being anything makes a difference.
It does, yeah.
And so we were, I was super, I mean, it's just me. I say we, and I always talk about we, and it's me.
It's probably why your friends think you're crazy.
Nah, they probably got some other reasons, but.
Yeah. What's the beer that you brewed?
So I did Kakua. So I did a session IPA that Garrett put out the recipe for. And
okay.
So it was very interesting. I got it, and I looked at it, I was like, well, this isn't going to work based on the numbers that they were giving us, and part of that just breaks down to a one barrel batch.
Okay.
So I knew it was going to be super light. I was like, you know what? Run it. Do it exactly their temperatures, their grain bill.
Okay.
Their hops, everything, and do it. So our version probably was the lightest one out of any ones that came out. It came out at 3.8%.
Wow.
But a lot of body, and I was super, it was a different brewing technique that I hadn't done.
Okay.
Temperature wise and everything. And
what was the mash temp? Do you remember?
140.
Okay. Yeah. Low.
Low.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But it did. And it brought in a ton of body on such a light beer.
Okay.
And that was the first time I got to use Waimea hops. And we were blessed with the ability to get Cryo Mosaic. And like,
nice.
As a one barrel, with no contracts and everything, trying to get something. It's like,
yeah,
shut up. You get whatever you can find.
Right.
But to be able to to get those hops and everything. It was amazing, and got to brew that beer. And so with that, we did 100% donation. So for us, that meant every $8 pint that got sold at our bar, $8 got sent to Lahaina.
Oh, right. So not just profit, just everything that came in.
100%. So
nice. Yeah.
A $1,200 donation.
That's
off
awesome.
Of a one barrel. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that $1,200 is going to get in the right hands and make a difference to everybody.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
It's just, that's why we do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is that love. That's the sense of the community, and the community gets bigger. And that's why I was saying it's a great time to be in this industry. And while there might not be that nationwide distribution, everything, you know, there's those little hints of it that even on a one barrel, it is.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing something for Maui in Atascadero, California.
Right. Another tiny town. Yeah.
But we are part of that. And it means the world to me to be able to do that and that's be great. Able to be part of that.
Absolutely.
Super, super excited. I mean, it sucks. Nobody wants to be involved in these projects because it means something tragic took place.
Sure. We'd be better if they didn't have to exist.
Right.
But they do.
Yeah.
And
I'm lucky that I've been able to participate in that and make donations through a few of these projects so far. So.
Right. And your next one coming up is the Pink Boots Society project.
Yeah. So we're going to brew. We're going to have a open day to the Pink Boot Society and have everybody in that wants to be involved in it.
Yeah.
Do a Pink Boot Society brew. And same thing, the, you know, with purchasing the hops, there's a per seed, or I think it was $2 per pound that goes to the society itself.
So that's a Yakima Chief blend.
Correct.
Again. Okay. Yeah.
I'm not really sure what the blend is on this one.
Okay.
I mean,
but brewers out there, if you're interested, you also can go to Yakima Chief, ask them about the blend and purchase it, and your purchase dollars portion goes to the Pink Boot Society.
And so we just, like I said, it was getting delivered today or tomorrow. We'll have those hops on hand. I believe March 8th is the preferred brew day for that.
Okay.
Which is the International Women's Day.
Okay.
I believe, I might have that date wrong, but I believe it's March 8th.
Nice.
So I don't know if we'll brew it that day, or maybe we brew it and do a release that day.
Oh, there you go.
You know, we'll have some fun with it. So we'll reach out to the Pink Boot Society group in San Luis Obispo County and see who wants to brew that beer and participate in it. And we have the hops for them, and we'll just open up the place to them. And then we will donate proceeds from that batch as well to the Pink Boot Society as a whole.
Nice. That's the good stuff, man. All right. Sunset Porter is in my glass.
Sunset Porter.
So before we get to know Chris, help me get to know this beer. Tell me about it.
What do you think?
Well,
you tell me the story.
I thought it was just a porter, and I was like, man, it tastes really like rich and robust. And then I went back to my notes, and it's a robust porter. So that makes sense.
At 5%.
So is that low? Is it, what's
it's
it supposed
super
to
low.
Be? It's supposed to be like 6 or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, by supposed to, you know what I mean? Like whatever the guideline says.
Sure.
But
I don't know.
So it's got a great, it's not quite, it's like a mix between a coffee and a roast and a toffee. It's not one of any of those things. It's a nice, I think, blend.
Thank you.
Of roast and coffee toffee. So that's in the aroma for me. And then, yeah, it's bursting with flavor. So that's nice. I think 5% is like the right level. I like it at 5.
I do too.
Yeah.
I love it at this. Mm-hmm. So like I said, I opened up Dunbar Brewing in 1997 in 300 square foot on a half barrel system from St. Patrick's of Texas. It was a little three tier half barrel brew house that I started commercially brewing on. And that just happened to be Sunset Drive.
Okay.
So this is my throwback, my ode to the Dunbar era and everything, and decided that I was going to make a porter, something totally new, but gave it that name of Sunset Porter because it gives back to the original address of where this all started and where, I mean, my passion started long before that, but
sure.
Where my passion for commercially brewing and being in this industry began.
Okay.
So Sunset Porter.
If I was just thinking about it again, because I took another couple sips before you keep describing it. If I was to describe it to my listener so they knew what I was tasting at home, I would say it's right smack between a pretty standard porter and a cold-pressed coffee.
Yes.
It's like in the middle there. Like so it's obviously more than just a standard porter and a little less than a cold-pressed coffee. It's like right in the middle there. That's the closest description I could give if I wanted someone to know what I think it tastes like.
Cool.
So
I find it just very enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know.
What's in it? What's the malt bill?
This malt bill's all over the place.
Yeah.
I just had fun with it is really the thing, and I wanted to bring back my malty side versus me learning about hops and how to play around with adding more and different hops and everything to get those flavors and aromas. I wanted to go back to my basics that I understood with malt and go pull a whole bunch of flavors and aromas strictly from malt.
Okay.
So I got a little weird on it. Like I went old school Dunbar ways on it and just had some fun and brought back, or didn't bring back. I refused to bring back anything. I wanted to bring something new to it, but with those old flavors and aromas and everything that I used to brew with. So I wanted to give kind of that old world flavors and aromas to a beer, but make it fun and exciting.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's been a long time since anybody had an exciting English ale.
Yeah.
I love them, but yeah, I mean, yeah.
When exciting is not usually a descriptor.
I'm an honest thing. Yeah. Yeah. So I really just wanted to have fun with this, and I really wanted to make the best porter anyone's ever had.
Yeah.
And I hope I'm there. I'll never quit tweaking or anything, but
of course, yeah.
But this is what I thought everybody would enjoy in a porter.
Yeah. It is delicious. I do what I want you to do in the future next time you're getting weird.
Yeah.
You it's a phrase you just said. I want you to name a beer. I got a little weird on it.
I can do that.
I think it's a great beer name.
We can definitely do that. So.
I don't know what style that's going to be. Maybe you don't either, but I got a little weird on it is a great beer name for a small brewery.
Yes.
What
it got a little weird last night. I'm going to put that in my notes right now. I'm not even taking a shower, and this is weird. Normally, I'm like yelling at my wife, Jennifer, write this down. She's like, what?
English yeast on this, too?
No.
Really?
No.
Because it's a little estery.
I know.
But that's all the malt, huh?
It is all the malt.
So what is it? Just a cal yeast?
Yep, that's US05.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's estery. Yeah, little if in the nose, just a little fruity estery. I like it.
I got a trick for that, and I can't tell it on this microphone. So.
Oh, you can't? You don't share those
I'll
secrets?
I'll tell you afterwards, but it's all about the 1%.
Okay. Whatever the 1% of your grain bill is?
Yes.
Okay.
That's all what right. it is.
Okay. Interesting.
And it amazes me how well it came through.
We're not talking about just like acidulated malt here.
No, okay. There's no acidulated at all.
Okay.
No, but there's a 1%.
Okay. All right. You tell me.
It's 1%er, so.
That's fair. That's good beer. They're both great beers. Thank you for sharing them.
Thank you.
Because we're running up on time here, let's do a little get to know Chris. You down with that?
I'm down.
All right. Okay, this doesn't have to be just brewers, the answer to this question. It could be anybody. And the question is, if you could brew with anyone, you know, a famous person you like, someone you look up to, someone who's passed and gone, I don't know. If you could brew with anybody, who would you brew with?
Johnny Cash.
Nice. That's a good one. That'd be a fun brew day right there.
Yeah, we get weird.
Yeah, that'd be the beer that we got a little weird. Yes. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. You got a hidden talent, you know, that either you're known for, that you know that you have? Any weird hidden talent that you're allowed to say to the public?
Probably not.
Yeah. That's fair.
I just gimp around.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I should.
Everybody should have one. Even if you don't like karaoke, everyone needs one in their back pocket.
I love a microphone, and I love to sing.
Oh, there we go. All right. You must have something in there. What's the last one you sang?
I actually can't think of it. The last time I did karaoke, so
we got to get you out to karaoke.
I need to go do that.
Yeah,
we'll, get you out karaoke. We'll come back to that. I'll make one.
All right. What was your first car?
A Toyota Corolla Tercel.
All right. Back when they were all the same thing. Yeah. Was it? I can already picture
even
it in my head.
Year. Was it copper?
Like, I was like, going to say, was it like shit brown?
Yes.
I can already picture it in my head.
I call that copper.
Yeah,
shit brown for sure.
Yeah, that we class it up a little bit. It's copper.
Yeah. That's church funny. It up, Joe Dirt.
Mine was like a really bad, like Nova, like 70 something. Not the cool Nova.
Not the cool.
No,
Nova.
Like the four door, like late, maybe it was an 81
when they put all the smog stuff on it.
Exactly.
It was terrible.
All right, are you superstitious at all?
Oh yeah.
What's your weirdest superstition, like the dumbest one? You know what I mean by weird. I'm very superstitious, by the way. That's why
I mean,
like,
I don't wear my socks for like a week straight. Scott over here does, but you know,
if something good happens, he won't change his socks. Yeah, that's baseball superstition right there.
I mean, I believe it at all. I mean, ghosts, all that stuff, you know, ladders.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 13. Annoying.
With I love number 13, so I'm okay with that.
I don't like, so this year of the, I don't even like saying it, but my beer festival this year, every year I've called it the something annual Spring Brews Festival. This year it's just called Spring Brews Fest 2024, because I don't fuck with that number. I can't do it. That number bothers me. I'm that guy who will almost not stay on the 13th floor of the hotel.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I'm kind of dumb.
I just stay at hotels that don't have a 13th floor.
they're often cheaper, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm definitely superstitious, and there's things that get me, but I confuse my OCD with superstitious. So
yeah, okay,
I do a lot
fair.
Of the same things in the same rotation because of that, but yeah.
That makes sense. All right. So before you discovered brewing, did you have, like, what was your dream profession? So I don't know, maybe when you were a kid, maybe before the military, I don't know what. Did you have another thing in your mind ever that was like, oh, I'm going to be that?
No.
Never?
No. I mean, maybe I can be a firefighter, a police officer, or I guess what every kid thought.
What about?
But I started working in this industry at like 15 years old.
Yeah,
and fell in love with it.
Okay,
and so I did this before the Army, and then I did the Army, and I went back to this.
Yeah. Okay.
So this has been my life.
Yeah.
When I grew up, I want to be a brewer.
A brewer. Do you mind if I get even more personal and ask why you joined the military? What was going through your head? What was the, you know, what did you feel about that?
It was always something that would have been a thorn in my side had I not.
Oh yeah. Okay.
It was something that I'd wanted to do during high school, and time wise and having my mom at that point sign off on it just wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
Not something she believed in, something I believed in. And
so you don't have a family history in the military?
I do.
Oh, you do? Okay.
No. And that's why she was against it.
Understood.
Yeah. But it was just something that was definitely becoming a thorn in my side. And I was like, at 25 years old, I joined the Army, and I knew it was my last chance to do it. And it's the best thing I ever did.
Okay.
It's the best thing that I ever did for the brewing community and everything. It taught me a lot and continues to teach me and allows me to do what I'm doing today. So,
yeah.
So thanks for that.
No. Hey, well, thank you for your service.
Thanks.
I think, I don't know that I've ever thought about it this way until I just heard you give that answer. I think I regret a little bit not doing it. And look, things turn out how they turn out.
Sure.
So I'm not the person who's like, if only I had done that. I don't feel that way. But hearing you say that you would have regretted it.
I would have.
And I definitely used to think about it. And then, you know, things just pulled me in another direction. But I often think back about it, especially once you're too old to do it, right? Like, there's a thing
and
about that.
I was almost there.
You were almost, well, but I mean, even now, I'm like, oh, maybe I should go to the military now. You know, once you're too old, you're like, when you know for a fact that you have no chance to do something that you maybe wanted to do it can kind of sting a little bit sometimes, sure. Right? And I think that's something I think about. Like, I think I might have joined had things turned out different.
I love it. I'm proud of it. I'm super proud of what I'm doing now. And, you know, it's given me the sense of how to run a business that I never would have gotten on my own.
So. Sure, sure.
So.
Okay.
It gives me the work ethic that, you know, that one person can run a brewery in a tap room all by themselves. So
yeah. Well, that's priceless right there. In your opinion, who's the best band in the world, either past or present, or musician? Could be, you know, it doesn't have to be a band. It could be one.
I mean, the best
in the world ever. Who's your favorite ever?
Bob Marley.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. His lyrics.
Hell yeah.
His sense of community.
That's a good answer.
I would, yeah, instantly, that's what came to me, so I'm going to go with Bob Marley.
that's a great answer. All right, you're a very positive guy, at least in this interview. So I'm going to ask you.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you, though, everything can't be positive. What's your most annoying pet peeve? Like, what's the thing that you're like, fuck that. That just drives me crazy.
People throwing up in the hallway.
That's a good one.
That drives me crazy.
Oh, that happened to us here recently at the Hop Grenade, too. I was like, really, bro?
Rookies, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Get your shit together.
So they can't come into the speakeasy, hang out with you for an hour, and then go throw up in the hallway.
Or they're not even in there, and I just walk out in the hallway, and I'm like, who did this?
That's a good one. Yeah. Mm. There's so many brewers and bar owners listening right now going like, yeah! And another thing.
Quit puking.
Yeah, seriously.
Get your shit together.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. And I about you being so positive. If your food's bad at a restaurant, do you say something?
Oh, I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
And I'll tell them because I'm like, well, you asked.
Yeah.
So I'll be honest. I wouldn't feed this to my dog. It's terrible.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, but you ate it. And I was like, I was also in the army. Like, I'll eat damn near anything. But this is some bullshit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I will not openly say something.
Yeah.
But if I'm asked, I'm 100% honest.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you're giving me dog shit, I'm going to tell you it's dog shit.
Okay. All right. I like it.
But I'm not going out of my way. But if you ask, Then I feel like I got free reign to say whatever I want. I'm like, you ass, so
here we go.
Get your notebook. Here it comes.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I agree with that philosophy. Oh, that's funny, though. A lot of people ask, and they don't really want that answer. But you're asked.
They don't want the answer.
Yeah.
But you asked, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And I always get the, were you kidding? No. I'm not kidding. Like, this is terrible.
Oh man, that's so great. Good answer. All right. So you always wanted to be a brewer.
I have always wanted to be a brewer.
So then, is there a beer or a brewery, you know, that inspired you most, or that really, you know, flipped that switch? Is there one you could put your finger on, even if it's not one, a couple, whatever?
So the first place that ever got me into it would be Spikes in San Luis Obispo. And Bob Spiker was a mentor to me and brought me into this industry. He taught me the business side of it, which is immeasurable, like more important than the beer or anything else.
Okay.
As far as the beer goes, Carmel Valley Brewing back in the day was the first beer that I ever had that truly, like, changed my life.
Oh, wow.
I wrote them a letter. They used it as a one-page ad in Celebrator Beer Magazine.
Really?
They invited me to come up and meet them. They gave me a t-shirt and a pint glass. And I knew right then and there that I'm meant to brew beer.
Oh, that's awesome.
And yeah, I just took a trip to Monterey, and a restaurant recommended their Christmas beer at the time. I was like, yeah, I wasn't really a beer person at that point. I'm like, you got a High Life or something back there? And like,
yeah,
we'll try this. And I was like, and it was a stout, and it that beer That is the beer that changed my life.
Wow.
And that article is out there, and it is a one-page ad in Celebrator.
Just drinking the beer inspired you to write a letter, or they were like soliciting?
No.
So you sat down and you wrote a letter to this brewery.
Absolutely. They weren't soliciting anything. It just, meant something to me, and then Anchor.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've sat down with Fritz several times and had amazing dinners and conversations with him in the brew house, not in the brew house. You know, I've been blessed, you know, 27 years of doing this as the world's smallest brewery, basically.
Yeah.
I've been blessed in who I've got to meet and the conversations I've got to have along the way. And I think it's, when I look at it now, I do just think it's because I love it. It's passion. It is, I've dedicated my life to doing this, and I'm inspired by the history of it and the growth of it. And it's not just about learning from the people in our past. It's about learning from the new people that are coming into this industry and growing forward with them as well. And that's why I'm truly excited about what this industry has to offer to all of us now moving forward. You know, I have the history side of it, and I've been blessed to be part of that because I've been doing this for so long, and I've been the world's smallest brewery, but been treated so well by everyone and invited to everybody's houses along the way. And so that's my goal for this, is to continue forward and continue that education and learn from the new people that are coming into it, because what they're doing is wild, and I love it. That's where I'm excited.
Yeah,
I love it. These people have the passion. They just need to hear a little bit of the history about it, and I think it'll only just fuel their passion. And I think the beers that are about to become something,
mm-hmm,
are going to change our world.
All right. Well, that's about the best get to know you segment we can ask for right there, Chris, and a good stopping point.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thanks for hearing a portion of the story.
I appreciate you making the drive up and being on the show. The beer's fantastic, so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you very much.
I got to come do the speakeasy with you.
You have to.
I keep hanging out with you down there, text. And I haven't gone to the brewery, and I just got a text. So
we'll make it happen.
Folks at home, you got to do the text. Search for Spent Grain Brewing on all of the socials, and I'm sure you can find the contact info there and the address down there in Atascadero. If you're going to any of the other wonderful breweries around the area, Liquid Gravity, Wild Field, some of my favorites, then you can go see Spent Grain right there too.
Thank you.
And you get your own tasting room, basically.
You do.
We were talking about that at the break. Like, most breweries, you got to go pay them like $2,000 if you want a private room. Or you can just text Chris and go to his tap room.
So. Perfect.
All right, Chris, thanks again for coming up. I really appreciate it. Spent Grain Brewing, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to go to thebrewingnetwork.com and get your Spring Brews Festival tickets. It's Saturday, March 30th from noon to 4. 60-plus breweries will be there. All of them are great. I'm pretty strict about who I let in. So it's a lot of good breweries, and $65 is all you got to pay to get in, and it's all you can drink. So come check us out at Spring Brews Festival, Saturday, March 30th. All right, we'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves and your beer.
The Session is a production of The Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.